turn to the 16th chapter of Acts. We're doing midnight Bible stories as the main theme of our Sunday school lessons. And there's a midnight Bible story in the 16th chapter of Acts. We'll get to that, but not so much the midnight Bible story today, but we're getting a lot of background. And on this, in this chapter, we find Paul and Silas on a second missionary journey for Paul. Along the way, they've added Timothy to the collection. And most recently, in verse, I think it's 10, we find that Luke has joined them. And beyond that, I don't know if there was anybody else traveling with them at this time or not, but at least these four guys. And three of those four guys go on to be church apostles, and already the Apostle Paul is a church apostle. And he's preaching Paul's gospel. And as a man called to be an apostle unto the Gentiles, you would think that he would preach everywhere he went. But the door wasn't always open for him to preach. And it might have been a little bit frustrating to him, I don't know. But I don't think Paul lived a frustrating life. I don't read that he was ever going around going, "Woe is me," you know. I've had, you know, Sue used to work with this guy, and she'd say, "Good morning, Daryl," and he'd say, "Bad day, bad day," and he'd go on with a list of, lasted 2 minutes long, of reasons why it was. And I think he was being more funny than anything. And Sue talked to him many times about the Lord, and I believe the guy was a Christian. And he did have multiple sclerosis, so, you know, if he had a reason to think that it might have been a bad day, maybe. But Paul, during this time that he was traveling and getting to the point where they went to Philippi, he did preach the gospel one-on-one to Titus. I mean, not Titus, Silas, and one-on-one to Timothy. And so it was profitable. And they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, it says there in verse 6. And so they kept on moving, and they came down to Troas in verse 8. And there a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, there in verse 9, Acts 16. And there stood a man, a representative man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And then it says in verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." So they went from Troas to Samothrace to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi in verse 12, which is a chief city in that part of Macedonia. And they were in a city abiding certain days. He didn't go out starting preaching immediately. They were abiding there certain days. But what happens on the Sabbath day? That was the day that Paul and his group were used to going to worship, you know. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, She besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That's all the further we're going to get today. But last week, we mentioned five qualities found in Lydia. And these are qualities that all grace saints possess. The first one was she worshiped God. The second one was that she listened to the word of God. The third quality is her heart was open to receive the word of God. And the next thing we find, the fourth thing, she paid very close attention to the things said by Paul. And five, she believed Paul's gospel message and acted upon it. Now, we found here in Acts 16:14 that Lydia was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. And in the city of Thyatira, it is recorded in history that there was a corporate guild of dyers of clothes, you know, make them change colors. And this was during the time of the Roman Empire. One historic account shows that the waters of Thyatira were so suited for dyeing clothes that nowhere was the scarlet of Fez, that is purple, thought to be so brilliant and permanent as that made in Thyatira. And so Lydia made a good living selling the purple of Thyatira. Was it saying in verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple? Well, one of the qualities of a full overcomer that is pictured by Lydia concerns her being a seller of purple. And let's see how this is. Purple in Scripture pictures royalty. And you find the word purple 48 times in Scripture. Well, the bride of Christ will be part of the royalty in heaven, correct? Part of the aristocracy of heaven that Brother Hill so often liked to talk about. Are we of the aristocracy of heaven? You think about it. In Revelation 1:5, the Apostle John notes this of Jesus in Revelation 1:5-6. He speaks of Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first and begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this then is your aristocracy of heaven, heaven's royalty. In Acts 16:15, we read this, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. The word besought here is the same Greek word translated prayed up there in Acts 16:9, and where we read that a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So the word besought here means to urge or to earnestly appeal. And she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, etc. In other words, Lydia was not going to take no for an answer, and she earnestly entreated, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The Greek word translated constrained is only found twice in New Testament Scripture, and it simply means she insisted. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. Now, go to Luke 24, and we were there, I think, last week. But in Luke 24:29 is the other place where we find the word constrained. And in that scripture, we find the two men traveling on the road to Emmaus, listening to the risen Savior speak scriptures unto them on the day he rose from the dead. And as evening was coming on, they constrained Jesus to tarry with them for the night. They insisted. They wanted him to stay with them. As they began to eat dinner, Jesus, as you know, revealed himself unto them and then vanished out of their sight. And this is when they said one to the other, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" That's found in Luke 24:32. This was the same way Lydia felt after hearing the Apostle Paul preach that day and talk to him down by the riverside. And for his gospel had pricked her heart, causing her heart also to compassionately burn within her for more of the gospel of Jesus to be spoken of and for more of the scriptures to be opened unto her. Have you ever reached such a place? I know. I mean, when you get into your studies, and Scott knows this, you get involved and you look up and 4 hours have gone by or 6 hours have gone by or the day's gone by. And it doesn't seem like it. Well, since Lydia couldn't seem to get enough of this good gospel message and not willing to let the day end with a simple goodbye, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Turn to Romans 12. This kind of behavior is called hospitality. And it spoke volumes to the heart of the Apostle Paul. I had you to turn to Romans 12. And we'll start reading in verse 9. And this was written sometime after Paul had visited Philippi and met Lydia. And I want you to especially note the 13th verse when we get there, but we'll start in verse 9, Romans 12, 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." And then go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, Timothy was one of the beneficiaries of this hospitality, as was Silas and Luke that Lydia showed there in Philippi. Well, some years later, the Apostle Paul would write to Timothy about the office of a bishop, and he noted the qualifications of a bishop. And, you know, as we read this, realize that Lydia displayed many of these same qualifications here in Acts 16 that Timothy enjoyed. And so he knew what Paul was saying when he wrote in 1 Timothy 3:1, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, How shall he take care of the church of God? Now, go to the chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. And Paul later wrote to Timothy about older widows in 1 Timothy 5, 9. We'll start there. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old. That's 60. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Go to Hebrews 13. So you know that Timothy would know what the Apostle Paul was writing about, having been himself one of the strangers that was lodged by Lydia back here in Acts 16. In Hebrews 13:2, I had you turn there, Paul writes, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Now he wants us to be wise in this, you know, not to go out and pick up some dude on the street. That might not end up so good. But, you know, there's the situation that would be correct for this, right? And the Lord would be make you aware of that. Later in Hebrews 13:20, Paul also writes, "Now the God of peace," that's the Holy Ghost, "that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The good works that Lydia showed in Acts 16:15 was one of the good works Paul referenced in the scriptures that we just read. Now, we can all learn many things from Lydia, even though her name's only mentioned in 3 verses of scripture. That's pretty good, though, isn't it? Get your name in 3 verses of scripture, I think. One of the more important things she said was in this phrase found in verse 15. "Come into my house and abide there." Now, think about it. Is the gospel of the Apostle Paul allowed in your house? Allowed to abide there? John Hill, our dear brother, just went home to be with the Lord this week. You knew darn good and well when you talked to John that the Apostle Paul's gospel abided in his house. He wouldn't talk about hardly anything else. And it's, you know, kind of hard not to reflect on a life of an individual that you've known all your life. And I remember when we were building the church out here, he wasn't quite yet 40 years old. And he liked to work out in the gym, as you all know. He even had a gym in his garage, I understand. Well, he said, "What would it be to have a body like a 20-year-old when you're 40 years old?" You know, maybe that was what was on his mind at that point in time. But as time went on, what'd he do at the gym? What'd he do at work? He was constantly talking to people about the Lord. And you couldn't hardly say hi to John without him giving you some scriptures, you know, and what his thought process was. You'd kind of stop and think, that's pretty deep, that's pretty profound, that's, man, you know, I don't even think like that, you know. And you know what I'm talking about if you knew him. As time went on, he could have cared less about having a body of a 20-year-old. He did go to the gym, but he went to the gym and spent more time talking to people about the Lord than he did working out. And it got to where he couldn't even work out anymore, but he still talk to people about the Lord. So, how many of you are here because of John Hill? How about Lynn Scott? He was her mailman. Brought her to church. God wouldn't have Lynn. Nancy wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for John Hill. Right? And, you know, you can all look, you look around. Think about it. The Wilson family. All these. Okay, so is the gospel of Apostle Paul allowed in your house and allowed to abide there? If so, it is because Paul's gospel has shined in your hearts and has taken root there like that tree that we discussed in Jeremiah 17:8. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. I want to read a couple verses. Second Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Go to Galatians 2. So this treasure that we have in our earthen vessel is Christ that liveth in me. Correct? And we also discussed that a couple weeks ago when we were in Jeremiah 17, looking at those scriptures. I had you turn to Galatians 2:20. Our pastor tells us this is his favorite scripture. And it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, back to Acts 16:15, when Lydia said, come into my house and abide there, she was really requesting to learn more of the Word of God, to learn more of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, as Paul's gospel also teaches, that the doctrines of Paul then would reign in her heart. That's what she was wanting to hear. Lydia wanted the doctrines of Paul to become a part of her household. Have the doctrines of Paul, Paul's gospel, become part of your household. And think about this, Paul's gospel is found in the homes of all New Testament full overcomers. Now, those of you who read ahead in Acts 16:40, you will find that the house of Lydia remained the home base of the Apostle Paul and his group while at Philippi. Acts 16:40 is also the last time we read of Lydia in Scripture. However, she was very important behind the scenes there at Philippi. And we have noted many fine qualities of a full overcomer displayed by Lydia. I want you to turn to Philippians, the first chapter. And who is the book of Philippians written to? Those at Philippi. And so when the Apostle Paul, later in life, writes his epistle into the Philippians, he has Lydia and her household in mind. For after all, he did spend quite a bit of time there initially. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The first day included the day that Lydia and her household first heard Paul's gospel preached back here in, by the riverside in Acts 16, verse 6 of Philippians 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So what we've just read in Acts 16:13 through 15 is the initial establishment of the church there at Philippi. This was just the beginning. We're moving on towards our midnight Bible story. But this thought hit me. Go to Hebrews 13. And we might be able to get through this. We're going to go back to Philippians also. But in Hebrews 13:5, late in life, Paul would write, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, I think and I hope that this is a familiar portion of Scripture to most of you, but there's the word conversation here. We want to focus upon that. It's found both in verses 5 and 7. Interestingly, two different Greek words are translated conversation here, and I'm not going to give them to you. You can look them up. But they both reference the same kind of thing, a manner of life, or a way of life without covetousness, and a manner of conduct of a life lived by faith. Do we live your life by faith? I can't answer that. You have to answer that for yourself. But such was the manner of the life of Paul, whose faith we are to follow. What we're going to get to here is we follow Paul as he followed Christ. And Lydia wanted to follow Paul as he followed Christ, okay? Now, go back to Philippians. We'll start in the Philippians 1:27. Twice in Philippians, we also find the same word in our English, conversation, but it's, again, a different Greek word. We'll find this. The first time is in Philippians 1:27, and we're actually going to read through verse 30. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Note this, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. So a third different Greek word here is translated conversation in verse 27, and it means here to live and to conduct oneself as a citizen of heaven. That's the kind of manner of life we are to have, to conduct ourselves as a citizen of heaven. And then Paul referenced in verse 28 through 30 the kind of tests and trials that a man of faith will face as he lives this manner of life as a citizen in heaven. For again, in verse 29, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Followers of Paul know this to be true. Now, I looked up what Brother Hill had to say about this in his Philippians book, and he asked this question, Brother Hill did. Do you realize there are levels of privilege in the Christian life? You're born again, he wrote. You're heirs of God. You are the aristocracy of heaven. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And being that gives you privileges that a lot of people don't have. Knowing what you know, because of attending what we teach and here at this assembly, knowing what you know has opened up privileges to you. So, Brother Hill writes, do you know what they are? And I'm going to end a quote for Brother Hill for a moment. But one of the privileges Brother Hill was talking about is found here in Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given. It's a privilege in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake. And the two brothers that recently went home to be with the Lord, Vern Wilson and John Hill, without a shadow of a doubt, they counted it a privilege not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Okay, let me finish quoting from Brother Hill. But in Christ, the privileged children of God are those who suffer with him, who bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who fill up that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. For if we suffer with him, we will reign with him, as it is written in 2 Timothy 2:12. Did you ever think of it like that? The privileges that we have. And one of them is these tests and trials that we face. Okay, now go to Philippians 3:20. This is the fourth time in our talk this morning where we will read the word conversation. And it says in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is still a different fourth Greek word translated conversation here, but it simply means our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, right? So I'll quote again from Brother Hill as he explained this thought. Do you know who you are? I can just hear him saying this. Are you sure you know who you are? Do you know you have passed from death unto life? That's found in 1 John 3:14. Do you know when Christ, who is our life, shall appear? Then he shall also appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:14. Do you know you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son? That's Colossians 1:13. Do you know now are we the sons of God? 1 John 3:12. Do you know these things? I'm quoting from Brother Hill. Well, so We mentioned these four references in Paul's scripture about his conversation, his manner of life, his citizenship in heaven, to introduce the thought that we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. I'll give you four verses here and we'll probably run out of time. 1 Corinthians 4:16. I'll have you jot these down. And you can probably look them up later. They should be underlined in your Bible if they're not. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Wherefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul explains this a little further. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I'll give you the last two and then we'll be done. Philippians 3:17. It says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And the last one is in 2 Corinthians 11:2, and it tells us why we are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And it says there in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ran out of time. Next time, Lord willing, we'll pick this up.